Hello, I'm Tim R., and I'm an alcoholic. And tonight, we have Charles P. telling his story from Gainesville, Georgia. He's a member of the Friendship Group at the Hawk Club. He's been sober. His last drink was over 30 years ago. That's almost twice my length in sobriety. He's been a big factor in my own development. He's such a great example, sponsoring people, sharing in meetings, driving down here to be of service by telling his story. We're so grateful that he's come to share with us. And please join Charles.
So, at a young age, there I was shooting up Demerol and morphine in the parking lot at school and going back in class. You know, and of course, alcohol is a given. You know, most days, if not all days, even at that age, alcohol is a given. That's what I had to do to be able to go to sleep at night. And plus, I wanted to do it. I didn't think I had an alcohol problem. I can remember one time, I think I was 19 years old, I'd done several self-harm things in order to get opiates. But one time I went out squirrel hunting by myself in my 22, and I shot myself in the leg. I got holes to prove it. Walked myself bad, bleeding to death. And I did that to get opiates. That's how desperate I was to get high and not feel like me. Because I hated me and I hate how I felt. And that's what I had to do to get opiates, because the alcohol wasn't always enough. First time I got really taken down by drug and or alcohol was I was playing in a rock band and got addicted to shooting cocaine. And I don't know if any of you, Bill, had any experience with that. But, I don't know of any feeling worse than the sun coming up out of dope and money. Got 50 holes in my arms, down in liquor, trying to pass out so I won't find a way to get more money and get more dope. But that was a pretty young age that was happening to me. I would get good jobs, and I would lose them. I'd get good girlfriends, and I would lose them. And I am keeping this a pretty G-rated version of my story. To keep the opiate chain going, I would manipulate doctors to get drugs. I would go to several of them, and then I got busted for forging prescriptions. And they let me off pretty easy the first time. You would think that would have been enough, but I got caught again with forging prescriptions. I remember they took me into this little interrogation room, and there was a list. Two cops were in there with me. They had a list of like a page and a third of names of people in town that were doing the same thing, getting opiates prescribed to them illegally. I looked at that list, and I promise you, I was every one of them. Every name was one of my aliases. Every one of them. I said, boy, I guess I better speak to a lawyer. I went on and on. I'm sure y'all know the desperation of promising yourself all day that you're not going to drink, promising everybody in your life that you're not going to drink, and then all of a sudden that switch gets flipped on and you're making a beeline to the liquor store and you can't stop yourself no matter what. Can't stop. That was me for sure. And I know there's probably a whole lot of people in this room that had the same issue going on. So I hated myself, and I hated that I could not stop. It was nonstop lying, conning, cheating, stealing, manipulating, whatever I could do to further my addiction. And it was hard work. That was every waking moment. Every waking moment of my life, I was pursuing drugs and alcohol. Working because I had to. Working when I had a job. I was in jail multiple times. I remember one time I got so desperate and so down that I decided to end my life. And this was a very serious attempt. And I'm living at my parents, of course, my sorry ass, living there. And so I decided to take a bottle of pain pills, a whole bottle of nerve pills, and a bottle of sleeping pills. And then I proceeded to drink myself to death with those as much alcohol as I could drink until I passed out, which I did. And this wasn't a cry for help. I did it way before my parents would get home. I did it before they could rescue me and get me to a hospital in time. My mother woke me up about 7:30 and said I had a phone call. I got up and I was fine. I didn't even have a buzz. Did not even have a buzz. I wonder if me standing here tonight is one of the reasons why. I hope so. I hope y'all hear something that you can use in this. Two evenings later, before my parents' home, and I'm high as a kite, I took a garden hose to my diesel Volvo, ran it up through the trunk into the interior of the car, and drove myself to a park which was closed for the winter. Now, they had a yellow bar across the road where nobody could get in. You know, the big yellow bars. I drove up on the bank around that bar and went back there to die. And I was sitting in my car drinking wine and drinking my last bit of wine before I was gone. Next thing I know, EMT had opened the door and was asking me if I wanted to go with him to the hospital. And I knew I couldn't say no. So I went there to the hospital. And for my second trip, I didn't tell you that already, I went first trip. But for my second trip, I went to Georgia Mental Health Institute on Briarcliff Road down here. Anybody here old enough to know about Georgia Mental Health, Tim, back then? I went back there. Crazy as hell people go, I'm telling you. I mean, I was crazy enough, but you get there, that's really crazy. But Jill went to the state boot camp, and then they finally sent me to Kickstart. Kickstart is a residential treatment center in Gainesville, and those people, fantastic there. But I did not want to be there. I did not. And so I knew I was about to go. I had a couple of days. And my sister, because of course I'm staying at my parents, my sister had the flu. I said, well, I got something for them. So she ate some ice cream. I took her ice cream bowl and I licked it. Yeah, I did. And about 3 days, I had like a 104-degree fever. I said, y'all got to take this to the doctor. So they did. They're a kickstart. They took me to the emergency room. I'm well-studied in symptoms. So I managed to convince that doctor I had appendicitis. Y'all want to see my scar?
Yeah.
They took my appendix out. They did. As a matter of fact, one of my ninth steps was going to that doctor. And I didn't actually speak to the doctor, but I did tell his assistant, you know, what had taken place. And the fact that I'd gotten dope from them. And I apologize for that. So that was one of my ninth step things. But I went, oh, then my last DUI, if you can believe this, the guy who did my appendix, Dr. Fullenwider, my last DUI, I was going over to try to find my girlfriend at the time, a stripper.
I'm not.
No. Not in public, anyway. Trying to find her to get to this house. Well, I knew she was there. She was at her girlfriend's house. But there I am. I drank, I think, 4 or 5 Long Island teas at the bar. I'm on intensive probation and wasn't even supposed to be out or drinking. And sure enough, cop gets behind me. And I said, well, my thinking is I am going to just get away from him, get down to the end of the road, jump out and run, and go report my car stolen. Okay, you know, I was full of brilliant ideas at the time. And so I took off anyway, and there I am going through a residential 30-mile-an-hour neighborhood doing 86 is what he clocked me at. I finally ended up in this cul-de-sac, hitting the cul-de-sac, and whose yard do I land in but the parents of the doctor that took out my appendix. It landed in the Fullenwater's yard. It goes go ripping their grass up through them and go to the bank, hit a tree, and they said, I got out and tried to run away, ran into a tree and knocked myself out. Sure enough, I had the scars and the bark in my head to prove it. Been on many adventures. I got sent back to Kickstart, the residential treatment center, and I really wanted to stop doing drugs and alcohol. I just didn't think it was possible. I really didn't. But I did get a good sponsor, and he pronounced himself my sponsor, and I felt like that I actually had a chance. It was a possibility because I wanted it. I had a great sponsor, and he took me through the steps, every one of them, by the book, like I do with my sponsors now. Some we are going to cover the steps, and we do. And, you know, it was about 3 or 4 months into that program, and I'm walking down the street coming back to the residential treatment center. And it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I realized I had gone the entire day without wanting to use drugs or alcohol. That was impossible. That was impossible. The miracle was there for me, and I was receiving it. I was receiving that miracle. I was elated. I was just absolutely elated because I knew I stood a chance of getting some long-term sobriety, maybe even quitting for life. And going through that program, that taught me also how to live life on life's terms and how to apply these steps to my life for almost any situation. Listen to other people in the program and learn how to live life on life's terms. Not only did I catch up my multiple probations, the fines went away, I caught up over $40,000 in child support, which I didn't even tell you about the child. I do have a 40-year-old child that he turned 40 this week, and I've got 2 amazing grandsons I'm very proud of. After I got out of Kickstart, I continued where I was working because they didn't want me doing my own business or anything. They had me working at this place called Georgia Chair, and I was a wood placement specialist. Y'all know what a wood placement specialist is? I took wood from here and put it here all day long. I was with the team that was sawing the heck out of wood, and it was super loud, and I hated it. But I continued there for like 3 more months, and then me and my brother-in-law opened up our first business, and I was still on a bicycle at the time. I still had 9 suspensions for driver's license. From there on, I've gone to different business, but I've been fed every day, had a roof over my head every day, been able to pay the rent or mortgage every month, had an amazing, beautiful wife come into my life, and I'm so very grateful to have her. And we have 2 wonderful dogs. Now, I want to make it clear about something. My sponsor, 15 years ago, just a little over 15 years ago, I had an opiate slip. Okay, after a bunch of surgeries, and that's because I got complacent. I felt like I had the program booked, and you heard in here that meeting makers make it. Okay, well, I got complacent, didn't go to meetings, and I didn't even tell my doctors, because I was having all these surgeries, I didn't even tell my doctors that I had an opiate addiction. How do you think that went? So I ended up using for several months. Thank God I didn't drink. And I didn't pick up, I picked up a white chip for that. And finally, when I got close to 30 years, my sponsor told me, they had checked with the New York office and everything, and he said, this is how our sponsor would want it, because we had a mutual sponsor. He said, son, you need to pick up an AA chip for that. And so I did, but I always like to explain the fact that I had the opiate slip, and I don't try to get around it or try to make it sound like I'm not an opiate addict and didn't have the slip 15 years ago, because I did. Right now, I can tell you that opiate slip was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I had severe depression after that, just severe depression. I'm telling you, taking a breath was laborious to me. It was so bad I could not make myself do anything, but I got myself to a meeting, and the only time I could get relief from the depression was in a meeting. And it's like God gave me this slip to get me back into meetings, because I was going to meetings 3 times a day. And now I still do 4 or 5 meetings a week. I sponsor people. And I started doing something in March that I swore I would never do, because I didn't want to be back in jail. I go every week to a meeting inside in the jail. And probably one of the best things I've ever done in this program. And those guys are at such a low. And I've been there. I know. They were such a low. I mean, you see those big guys come in there, and alcohol and drugs has ruined their life, and they're sharing from their heart, and they tear up and they're crying. And they're so glad that we came. I tell them, I'm so glad that they came to our meeting. And it's so cool that when we see one come into the hot club where we have meetings, it's so cool to see them show up. I mean, that's payday. That's money in the bank right there. I promise you it is for me. But I do go to at least 4 or 5 meetings a week. And I am very wealthy. And not because of any money. I'm wealthy because I have you all in my life. I'm wealthy because I have a wonderful wife and family. I'm wealthy because I have genuine love in my life. I have real friendship in my life. I'm nothing without that. I'm nothing without God. Without you people and without this program in my life. I did meet my spectacular wife 13 years ago. We just had our 11th anniversary. She has managed to put up with me this long, and y'all come congratulate her. And now she has about 1 drink every 2 months, and I'm looking at her and I'm saying, are you going to finish that thing? She's a cheapskate. I want you to know, if you haven't received the miracle of not wanting to use drugs and alcohol anymore, it's here. I promise you it's here. You keep coming. You work these very simple steps with a sponsor, and you're going to lose that desire to drink and do drugs. You're going to lose that compulsion that makes you want to go to the liquor store no matter what. It's going to leave you. It's here for you. It's free. It doesn't cost a damn thing. It's the best bargain in the world. This is the best deal going anywhere. Give up one thing to have everything. Give up one thing to have everything. Tell me where you can beat that. I hope you all will keep coming back. I want to give credit to Jesus, my sponsor, and to you people. Thanks for this miracle. Thanks for the sobriety.
First I slipped, and then I quit. To a hope-filled dream. You rescued me. Look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Take me where the promise is. All is. Sometimes quickly. Sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, God walks by. We walk eternally. Look into love's window for a heart. Oh.